Good morning, everyone. One of the biggest challenges I believe a Jew has today in shul is chazaras hashatz. The chazan repeats every single word of the Shmona Esrei that we've just said. And if you look around the room, you'll find various things happening at that moment. And allow me just to give you a very simple update of what I saw this morning. During chazaras hashatz, I saw one gentleman, no more, no less, returning SMSs. I saw another gentleman reading the newspaper in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz with his talis on, sitting down, and I saw people learning as well. Now, which of the following three examples is, in your opinion, the best?
The best being the worst or the best?
The best of the worst.
I would think learning.
You'd say learning.
Yeah.
So the question we want to deal with this morning is, are you allowed to learn during Chazaras Hashatz?
I would say maybe not. Because you're mentally involved in learning, and you really don't hear the speaker. But the other two, you might actually be listening, and you might actually say amen while, because you can multitask. But
learning, you brought up a very interesting point. Let's see. At the top of the source sheet, you'll see the actual source for Chazaras Hashatz. Just to make a long story short, the majority view in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, page 34b, is that every single person needs to daven a silent Shmoneh Esrei, and so does the Chazan, in order to allow those people that can't daven, either because they have no sitter or they're illiterate, to hear every single word from the Chazan, answer amen to every single bracha, with their feet together standing upright, and thus they fulfill their obligation of Shmoneh Esrei. That's the majority view in the Gemara. There's an ascending view of Rabban Gamliel on the left side of the sheet, but the majority view is, and I repeat, every single person needs to daven Shmoneh Esrei. You can do it in one of two ways. A, you can ultimately daven your own silent Shmoneh Esrei. And B, when the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, you can take three steps back, three steps forward, stand upright, listen to every single word the Chazan says. We have al halachic tool called Shomea Keone. When you hear, it's like you said it. And you answer Amen. And at the end of the Shmoneh Esrei, you take three steps back. And thus you fulfilled your obligation. So those are the two ways that you can fulfill your obligation. Once again, everyone's chayav, everyone's obligated in davening Shmoneh Esrei. You either do it on your own, or as the Chachamim say, when the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, it's done in order to allow those that can't daven a Shmoneh Esrei, being illiterate in Hebrew, not having a sitter, to listen attentively and to answer Amen.
So that sounds like if I've davened and my friend next to me doesn't know how, so really I can do what I want and I'm, disturbing them.
So now Bruce is begging a question and says, well, if I already davened my Shmoneh Esrei, I fulfill this edict of the Chachamim to daven Shmoneh Esrei, and I'm all done. And now the Chazan's getting up and allowing all those illiterate people, those poor people that can't daven, either because of lack of Hebrew or lack of a sitter, to daven. I can do what I want. I can even leave the shul. I'll come back when it's over. So that would have been the case. However, if you look at B on the sheet, you'll see that starting from the tshuva of the Rambam, a very famous responsum of the Rambam, going through life all the way down to the Shulchan Aruch. And let's just read it from the Shulchan Aruch to make it easier. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf, Kaf, Dalet, Sif, Gimel, 124, subdivision 3, Kahal Sheit Palelu, V'kulam B'ki'im Batfila, a minyan that everyone davened on their own Shmoneh Esrei. They're all literate or they all have a sitter. And everyone knows how to daven. Afal piken, even so, yereit shatz v'chozer lihit palel kedei lekayem takanat chachamim. Even so, there is a takana of the chachamim, an edict of our sages, that there's a chazaras hashatz, whether you do a volt and everyone already davened, or whether you don't do a volt and ultimately maybe there's someone in the room that didn't daven. So today, as you all know, in any normative shul, you will have both a silent Shmoneh Esrei and a Chazaras Hashatz. Why? Because when the Chachamim make a takana, there's a famous rule, as the Rambam says here, lo natnu dvarav l'shiurin. The Chachamim don't start and say, well, in this case yes, in this case no. When there's an edict, you do it. Usually, even when the reason is irrelevant. So once again, even though today most people coming to a minyan know how to daven, and thus they fulfilled the edict of the sages to daven a shmones, and they did so properly, we still do a chazarat hashatz. Why? Why? To fulfill this takana of the chachamim. They made a takana lahutzi et misha eino baki, in order to fulfill the obligation for those that once again are either illiterate or don't have a sitter. So it remains. The Mishnah Berurah here explains beautifully. Perhaps there is someone in the shul that doesn't know how to daven. He's just, you know, holds a sitter, does what everyone does. And if you go around the world, you can see many Jews that come to shul that don't read a good Hebrew. So the Chazarat Hashatz is still relevant today. But even if you're davening in a shul where everybody knows how to daven, you know for a fact that everyone knows a fluent Hebrew. Even so, the takana remains. So that's what we call Judaism 101, the takana remains. I'll just say in parentheses that there is a rumor that I've never validated, but I actually saw with my own eyes, that in the Litvish yeshivas, where they knew if you're learning a yeshiva, you know how to daven, they didn't do a chazarat hashatz at mincha, because everyone knows how to daven. There's no reason for it. They did what we call a hecha kedusha, tefillah ktzara, so they can take it to the kedusha. But everyone knows how to daven. That's against this Shulchan Aruch, that's against this Rambam, that's against the normative halacha. But that was the minhag in the many Litvish yeshivas. Close the parentheses, I saw it once in my life in a kollel of a Litvish yeshiva. I've never subsequently seen it again. Yes?
So it sounds like if I'm in the room and I'm paying a little attention saying amen, and I can do something else and not disturb anyone.
Hold on, we're not there yet. Now that we know that we have to do a chazarat hashatz, whether there's people in the room that are illiterate or don't have a sitter or not, my question is, once there is this takana, how do we characterize it? What is the character of this takana? And in my humble opinion, if you look at C, there's two ways to explain it. The Rambam's version and the Rosh's version. Let's look at the Rosh. In a response of the Rosh says the following words. V'hachazam mitpalel lehotzi et mi she'eino baki. The Chazen repeats the Chazarat, does the Chazarat Hashatz and repeats the Shmoneh Esrei in order to fulfill the obligation for who?
The people that
don't know how to daven. V'hakahal yeshem lishtok v'lechavein. And the people have to shut up and have kavana. Why? Listen carefully. What do they have to have kavana to? Libirkat HaChazan, to the brocha of the Chazan. And he goes on to say, V'lomar Amen, and say Amen. U'ksheen tisha b'bet ha'knesset ha'mechatamnim le'birkat shliach tzibor, and where there isn't 9 people listening to the brocha of the Chazan, karovu be'inai she'birkat shliach tzibor levatala. It's very close in my eyes to the fact that he's making a brocha levatala, a brocha in vain. Who's making the brocha in vain? The Shliach Tzibor. If you look on this page, you'll see that he repeats the word Shliach Tzibor constantly. Because the takana, the edict, was that the Chazan says these brachas. According to the Rosh, in my opinion, the character of Chazarat Hashatz is a Chazan davening. Chazan's davening. Like the Mishnah Berurah says, perhaps there is someone in the shul that's illiterate. I don't know. But it's the Chazan's davening. And the Shulchan Aruch follows suit, and he says, "K'shat chozer atfila." When the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, "Hakahal yesh lahem lechashtok ulechavein lebirkot shemivarech haChazan v'la'anot amein." Ve'im ein tet mechavnim lebirkotav karov liyot birkotav levatala. Says the Shulchan Aruch that you have to listen and say amen, and if you don't say amen, his brachas are in vain. So according to the Rosh, Chazarat Hashatz is exactly the way I just said it. Chazarat Hashatz. The repetition of the Chazan. It's the Chazan's brachas. What's your job?
To listen to him.
That's it. But it's the Chazan's brachas. It's nothing to do with you if you already davened. As the Chachamim say, in other, you can either daven yourself or Yotze with the Chazan. I've already davened myself. Now the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei to fulfill this edict. My job is just to answer Amen. So if I could, theoretically, we'll get to it, do 2 things at once, and I answer Amen, the Chazan says his brachas, I'm answering Amen, everyone's happy. That's the Rosh's version of Chazarat Hashatz. To sum up, the Rosh says, when you say Chazarat Hashatz, you mean it. It is the repetition of who? The Chaza. Not me. I already davened. It's not my davening. It's the repetition of the Chaza. Yes?
I thought that there was something unique about this davening, sort of the koach of the
tzibur. Hold on. We just said the Rosh's version. Now go to the right side of the page. In my humble opinion, the Rambam has a totally different version of Chazarat Hashatz. He understood it totally differently. Says the Rambam, Ketzad hi tfilat ha-tzibur. What is the, let's say those words again, tfilat ha-tzibur, the prayer of the congregation. Let's use a more fancy word in Hebrew, in English, so I can show off my English. What is communal prayer? Not a prayer in a community, not on davening within a community of 10, but what is the communal prayer, singular? One prayer of an entire community. Says the Rambam the answer. Ye'echad mitpalel b'kol ram v'hakol shomim. When one representative davens and everybody listens. And then he goes on to say, in Perek Tet, Halacha Bet, Hakol Omdim v'shomin v'onin amein achar kol bracha u'bracha. Ben elu sheyatzu yidei chovatan, u'ben elu shekval yatzu. Says the Rambam, your job is to stand there and to listen. Not just to listen, but to answer amen. Now we know we have to answer amen to a bracha of a Jew. But the Rambam makes a big point of saying it here. Why? Answer. We know we have to answer amen. The Rambam doesn't say, when a Jew says a shahako, say amen. Here he says it.
Well, it's communal prayer. You have to be part of the communal prayer.
Exactly. If you look at the Haga'ot Maimoni is an interpretation on the Rambam, which usually disregards the Rambam and just brings in the Ashkenazic point of view. But here he explains the Rambam. In the name of the two Gaonim, Rav Shrira Gaon and Rav Hai Gaon, and I quote, "Shetzarich lechaven l'choma sheomer shliach tzibur mirosh atzof ke'adam shemitpalel la'atzmo." You have to have kavana for everything the shliach tzibur says from beginning to end. Ke'adam shemitpalel la'atzmo. Translate. Like a person
davening himself.
Davening himself. What's the Rambam's version of Chazarat Hashatz according to this?
It's really your davening.
It's your communal prayer. In other words, the Rambam is saying that it's not the Chazan's prayer, like the Rosh says, Birkot HaChazan, Birkot HaShliach Tzibur. No! It's all our prayer. We're all davening. We have a representative, the Chazan. But we are all davening together. Everyone's standing there together. One guy is talking and we're all standing behind him. It's like when a person wins an election and gets up and gives his victory speech and all the Knesset members that are part of his party stand behind him. So it's one party and it's the head of the party that gives the victory speech and they're all part of the same party. That's the Rambam's version of Chazarat Hashatz. So Soloveitchik explained it beautifully in letters he wrote when he was in university in Berlin to his father. Everyone thinks that when Rav Soloveitchik was in the university in Berlin, God forbid he became an apikoyres, he didn't learn. He learned, and he wrote letters to his father in learning. And he says, "Shezo etzim takanat chazarat tefilah." This is why we do chazarat hashas. The lower kashatz mitpalel. It's not just that the shliach tzibur is davening. Ela kol tzibur mitpalelim. Everyone is davening, and therefore the Ramah on that shulchan aruch, the shulchan aruch that said it's the chazan's brachas. What does the Ramah say? Interesting. Yeshomim, some say, Shekola am yamdu kishechozer hashatz ha-tfilah. Everyone should stand up during Chazarat Hashatz. Why should I stand up? If it's the Chazan's davening, let him stand up. I'll sit down. But if it's my davening, I'm part of the community, I should be standing there with him. He's talking, but it's my davening as well. And indeed, explains the Mishnah Berurah Ta'amam because kevan shemechavnim v'shomim mishat v'shomea ke'one u'ke'ilu mitpalalim ba'atzmam damya. It's as if they're davening themselves. So just to sum up, we have two prototypes of how to understand Chazarat Hashatz. Either it's the Chazan's brachas, in order to help those that are illiterate or can't hold a sitter, and my job is to answer amen, and if I can perhaps do two things at once, I can probably get away with it. And obviously I don't have to stand up. It's the Chazan's business. And that's the model of the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch follow suit. What's the model of the Rambam?
Well,
It's not the Chazan's brachas, but rather my brachas. It's my communal prayer. The Chazan's my representative. To put it into halachic terms, there's two kinds of korbanot. There's two kinds of sacrifices. Rav Soloveitchik says this in Ala Tshuva regarding tshuva. There's korban ha-shutafin, and there's korban tzibur. And there's a korban yachid. There is a korban of the partners, a private korban and a communal korban. What's a private korban? And Shabbos woke up. I forgot it was Shabbos. I put on the light. I have to bring a korban chatas. That's my private business. Korban ha-shutafin is a bunch of people get together on one korban. But again, it's a singular korban. Give me an example of that. Korban Pesach. And then there's a korban tzibur. What's a korban tzibur? The tamid. What's that mean? One korban's brought in Yerushalayim.
Twice a day
on behalf of all the Jewish people. It's a communal sacrifice. Musaf on Shabbos is a communal sacrifice. Musafim on Yontif is a communal sacrifice. It's not the Kohens. It's not the Levites. It's not the people that are actually there. It's even the people that are up north in the Galil, down south in Eilat. So the question is, how do we define the Chazarat Hashatz? The Rosh says, it's a Korban Yochid. The Chazan has to repeat the Shmona Esrei. The doomsday for the Chazan, he has to say Shmona Esrei twice. What can you do? My job, what am I going to do? I hear a bracha, I have to answer Amen. According to the Rambam, it's not the Chazan's davening, it's your davening. So it's like it's your Korban Tamid, it's your Korban Musaf. There's a private davening, and there's a public davening, and this is the public davening. And therefore you can understand why the Rambam says, stand up, because it's I'm davening now. Albeit the Chazan's my representative, my spokesman, but I'm davening now. Imagine having a spokesman for the Prime Minister who doesn't know your language, but he's not even in the room. That's not a spokesman. He's translating what you have to say to the gentleman next to you. Yes?
You explained initially that this is in response to a tzakana. And the tzakana seems to be based on the fact that people didn't have a davening. So the Rosh seems to be more in sync with what the purpose of the tzakana was all about.
No question. And the Rambam says, yes, that was the original reason for the tzakana, but once it's done, we have to define it. In other words, according to the Rosh, the reason for the takana is also the character of the takana. According to the Rambam, the impetus, the motivation to make the takana was to fulfill the obligation for those that were illiterate or can't hold a sitter in their hands. But once the motivation is there, the character of the takana is not the motivation for the takana. The character is different. And those are the differences, in my opinion, between the Rosh's Chazarat Hashatz and the Ramban. If you turn the page, now we can get to the question that our friend Bruce asked. Look at number two, doing two things at once. Can I learn during Chazarat Hashatz? So, the majority of the poskim say, absolutely not. But for three different reasons. And as you can see here, there's three different reasons. The first reason on the right side is the most fierce. The Magen Avraham brings the Vavei HaAmudim. Anyone know who wrote the Vavei HaAmudim? The pillars of the foundations. The son of the Shla, the famous Shla, Shnei Luchot HaBrit. I believe Yitzchak Ish Horvitz, he had a son named Rab Shapti. And Rab Shaptai wrote the Vavei HaAmudim in the Shla. So in the Sefer, he writes that you're not allowed to learn during Chazarat Hashatz. And the Magen Avraham brings his point of view. The Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, says that yes, theoretically, if you can do two things at once and still answer Amen, it would have been okay. But quite frankly, how do you know there's nine people listening outside of you? And you have this Vavei HaAmudim, and therefore he finishes his tshuva and says, Asen, asur limod b'shat chazarat hashatz, you're not allowed to learn, b'chol ofen, in any time. Yesh midina, either because that is the halacha, the Rambam's view that chazarat hashatz is part of your tefillah, let's say, Yesh mitama Magen Avraham, or because of the Magen Avraham. If you look on the left side of the page, you'll see that the Magen Avraham is intellectually honest, and he brings a very, very famous responsum of the Rama from Pano. The Rama Mapano is an Italian Rov. You can see his years on the bottom of the page, 1548 to 1620. And the Rama Mipano, basically, in my opinion, saw the Rosh as the Chazarat Hashatz, as the Chazan's prayer, in order to fulfill the obligation for those that are illiterate or can't hold a sitter in their hands. And he basically says very simply, look, if you can say, do two things at once, there's no problem. And therefore, if you could learn and answer Amen, that's great. And he brings a raya from a Gemara. The Gemara in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Bet, talks about a great shul in Alexandria. Whoever ever saw this huge, beautiful, magnificent shul in Alexandria never saw the honor of Israel. It was so big that you didn't hear the chazan. So what did they do? You have to answer Amen to the chazan's blessings. So what do you do? There was a guy there that did what? Chazan HaKneset Omed Aleha. He stood on the bima. Ve'hasudarin biyado. He had a little rag in his hand. He would listen to the chazan when the time was Amen. He would go like this. And everyone answered Amen. Says the Ramah Mipanel, they don't even know what the chazan said. They can't even hear him, but they answered Amen. From here we learn, you don't have to exactly listen to every word of the chazan. You have to know he's making a bracha. You have to know that you're supposed to answer Amen. And when the time comes, you answer Amen. So if you could learn Torah on the one hand and listen to the chazan's blessings on the other, for sure it's okay. And the raya is from this Gemara in Masechet Sukkah. And indeed the Magen Avraham brings it and says, this is what he said. He himself obviously brings the ascending view as well, but he says, yes. In my opinion, this is totally dependent upon our two views of what Chazarat HaShatz is. Namely, if it's the communal prayer, I can't do anything else. I am davening now. Would anyone in their right mind in the middle of a Shmoneh Esrei, a silent Shmoneh Esrei, take out a phone and start SMSing? Absolutely not. You're talking to God. Don't shake your head. But if, on the other hand, you're not davening, the chazan's davening, then I can start contemplating, maybe I can do two things at once. It's the chazan's davening. I finished. I fulfilled my obligation. Okay, I'm in the shul. There's a takana. I have to answer Amen. I'll do it. Albeit, I don't have to listen to every word. So I don't need to know he's saying Slach Lanu versus Refa'enu. Just like in the shul in Alexandria, they had these flags. We all know it's a bracha. We all know the chazan saying it. That's good enough. So when you hear the words Baruch Atah Hashem, you don't know where he is. Immediately a Jew says B'chovuk Shmo. Then he says whatever. Amen. That's good enough. I'm not davening. But if I'm davening, it's my communal prayer. Will you even contemplate doing two things at once? Of course not. In the middle, you can find side reasons why you shouldn't learn during davening. And that is that I won't go into it now, but there's side reasons why you shouldn't do it. One of the side reasons is that maybe sometimes, indeed, you didn't have enough kavana during your davening. So at least when the chazan's davening, you should have kavana. That's a side reason. Another reason is the Mishnah Berurah. He says that there's something in halacha called an amen yitoma. When you say amen, which is what we call an orphaned amen, you don't know what you're saying amen on, and that's a big problem in halacha. The Ramah Mipano in that famous tshuva deals with it and says the Yerushalmi says it's not so bad. If you know it's a bracha, you don't need to know what the bracha is about. But Mishnah Berurah is a bit more machmir, and he says it's not right to say an amen on nothing you know about. And then he says that the amei haaretz, those that don't know any better, would start learning from you, thinking, hey, I don't know how to read. I don't know how to hurl a sitter in my hand. So I'm just going to do what all the Jews do. What do all the Jews do during Chazarat HaShatz? They read the Parsha sheet. So I want to be like all Jews, so I'll read the Parsha sheets. Oh, wait, there's one difference. The Jew that's reading the Parsha sheet, he already davened. You didn't. Oh, come on, semantics. No big deal. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's not a good idea. Other people will learn from you that even when they themselves need the Chazarat HaShatz, they still won't use it and utilize it because they're learning from you. So those are side reasons. But in my opinion, the main two views here are dependent upon how do we view Chazarat HaShatz. Is the motivation the character? Or the motivation aside, the character is different. If the motivation is the character, then it's the bracha of the chazan for the illiterate, for those that can't hold a sitter. So I'm illiterate, thank God, in Hebrew, and I can hold a sitter in my hand, thank God. It's not my, nothing to do with me. But I'm in the shul, I have to answer Amen. I will. So I can answer Amen and look at my phone, I can answer Amen and learn, I can answer my Amen and sit down. It's fine. But if you say it's a communal prayer, true, the motivation was for those that are illiterate who can't hold a sitter. But if it's a communal prayer, then I have to be standing there, because I am like I'm davening, and listen to every word and say amen. If not, it's not a communal prayer. The community's learning the parsha sheets, learning daf yomi, and you're the chazan. And of course, there's side reasons on the side. Just to make this as clear as possible, if you turn the page, let's talk about another issue that comes up a lot. And that is the following issue. Can you talk during Chazarat HaShatz? So says the Shulchan Aruch, you can't. Lo yasiach sichat chulin b'sha'a sheshatz chozer tefillah. You shouldn't talk about idle things during the time that the Shliach Tzibur, the Chazin, is doing the Chazarat HaShatz. Ve'im sachu chote. And if he talks, he's a sinner. Ve'gadol avono min so, and he has a very hard sin on him, ve'go arimbo. We should tell him off afterwards. And then the Rama adds, "Ve'yilamaneu banav ktanim sheyanu amen, ki miyad shatinok one amen yesh lo chelik la'olam haba." And you should teach your kids to say amen, because if you say amen, you have a chelik in the world to come. How do you understand that? The Mishnah Berurah brings two points of view. On the right side, he brings the point of view. On the left side, I think he brings the point of view of the Rosh, and on the right side, he brings the point of view of the Rambam. What's the point of view of the Rosh? Ratzalomar afilim yitzeli zaher basof kol bracha lechaven la'anot amen. Namely, all you want to do is teach your kids that at the end of the bracha of who? The chazan, you have to answer amen. So you better not talk. But then he brings the shla. Remember I said the vaveya amudim, son of the shla, says you're not allowed to learn during Chazarat HaShatz? So the shla himself, the father, says, Ra'iti mehacharedim el dvar Hashem. Not the charedim today. Those that are very concerned about the word of God. They put the sitter in front of their eyes during the Chazarat HaShatz. Now right away you discern if they're putting the sitter in front of their eyes during the Chazarat HaShatz. Do they know how to read?
Yes.
Did they already daven probably? Yes, but they still put the sitter in front of their eyes. And says the Mishnah Berurah, Ve'enehem ve'libam sham. And their eyes and their heart is there. Shelo yiru achutza. Va'az mechtamnim kol mila u'mila. Why would they have to have kavana in every single word the chazan said? They just davened. Answer. It's a communal prayer. So as you could see, the Mishnah Berurah is, in his perush to the Shulchan Aruch, is debating on our very issue. Is it the chazan's prayer? So my only concern is answering amen. And therefore don't talk during Chazarat HaShatz. You may miss answering amen. Big problem. Or no. It's my davening. So it's not the amen per se. But rather, what is it?
It's
your prayer, and therefore you have to look at the sitter, know every word he's saying, listen attentively. And then, because of that, it's a communal prayer. So as you could see here, there's two models of Chazarat HaShatz. Either it's the Chazan's prayer, or it's my prayer. And the ramification is, can you learn during Chazarat HaShatz? And why can't you talk during Chazarat HaShatz? Two ramifications. As we've seen. And we can bring many, many more to prove our point that, indeed, is it my prayer, albeit the chazan saying it, or is it the Shliach Tzibur's prayer? Yeah.
So as I mentioned in the beginning, I think it's still a question. You know, I used to play on a chess team, and I could play more than one game at the same time, many people, with great concentration in each game. So there are people, I imagine, even better to give them play devil's advocate, they really are listening to the Shliach Tzibur, every word he says. And they manage to SMS, because they're not paying attention to the SMS. Learning is a separate issue. Because when you're learning, you really are involved.
So that's what I'm saying.
That guy who texts without thinking about it, but he really is listening, it's a strong argument to set it the other way.
In my opinion, there's the way you divided it is not the way it divides down. It goes like this. If indeed you can do two things at once, are you allowed to do two things at once? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. According to the model of the Rosh, of course you can. As long as you answer amen, that's fine. You can do two things at once. Now, Bruce says, well, within the two things at once, how much are you concentrating on this? How much are you concentrating on that? Let's melam etzchut, you can concentrate on both equally. According to the Rambam, the conversation doesn't even start. You are in the middle of davening. So that's ultimately where I think the difference lies. And by the way, there's many more ramifications we don't have time for now. You can look at it later. But there's many more ramifications as to these two models of Chazarat HaShatz. Is this the Chazan's prayer or my prayer? Therefore, the next time you come into shul and you see people during Chazarat HaShatz doing other things, you have to decide where you come down on this issue. In my humble opinion, we should come down on the side of the Rambam for many different reasons. Because even if we come down on the side of the Rosh, I have this fear that there isn't going to be nine people listening and answering Amen. Because, quite frankly, we can concentrate a little too much on what we're doing and not on what the Chazan is doing. But I personally think that the Rambam is correct on this issue, and it explains why today, even though most people are literate, we continue to do Chazarat HaShatz, because it's a different kind of a silent, it's not a silent Shmoneh Esrei, but it's a public communal Shmoneh Esrei. And I'll just end that this explains the Chumrah that Rav Soloveitchik had, his student, my Rebbe, Rav Lichtenstein had, or any Kaparat Mishkavo, and many have adopted, that during Chazarat HaShatz, you don't just stand up, but you stand with your feet together. Even though you davened already. Why do you stand with your feet together? Because you're davening. You are davening like everyone else. Like the Chazan, albeit he's your spokesman. There's one communal prayer coming down with the Chazan. So what's the difference? Rav Soloveitchik will say, in my private Shmoneh Esrei, in Refaenu, I said, may you give my neighbor Refuah Shleima. In the public communal one, he won't say that. Of course not. That's the difference. There's a private, there's a public. In the public arena, you don't put everything private in public. If you do that, you're mixing up private and public. And therefore, he stood with his feet together. That's only if you come down on the side of the Rambam. If you come down on the side of the Rosh, first of all, there's no reason to stand up. Thus, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring the Minhag, only the Rambam. And definitely not with your feet together.